Welcome to the Ordained Chaplains Podcast. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society University, and this is the Work of the Chaplain, Lesson 54. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help those who are interested in serving others through chaplaincy, pastoring, coaching, in counseling to learn the basics of this profession. Our work of the chaplain passage for this episode is 1 John 4:4, which says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Our work of the chaplain quote for this episode is from Richard Baxter. He said, "In necessary things, unity. In doubtful things, liberty. In all things, charity." And to that we can all say amen. In this podcast we are going through the fine book, The Work of the Chaplain, by Naomi K. Paget and Janet R. McCormick. I do not know if they have received their doctorates yet, but they should have it because of how valuable this book is that they worked together on and published. And so I'm going to call them Dr. Naomi K. Paget and Dr. Janet R. McCormick. Our topic today is First Responder Chaplaincy, Part 5, Breaching the Blue Wall. Law enforcement officers are accustomed to meeting and working with people who regularly disappoint them or lie to them. They frequently work with people who have ulterior motives or who try to manipulate them to gain an advantage. Consequently, it takes time for the chaplain to build a trusting relationship with law enforcement personnel to become part of the family. One of the unique challenges a law enforcement chaplain faces is breaching the blue wall. Neither physical nor visible, the psychological and social barrier that separates officers from the world is erected to insulate and protect. It is intentionally erected and judiciously guarded. Only the accepted are allowed entry. Because law enforcement officers deal with the most negative aspects of society, and because they are constantly put under public scrutiny, they withdraw into a world where they are understood and accepted. The law enforcement chaplain only gains entrance when he or she demonstrates a consistent time commitment, a non-judgmental posture in all questionable circumstances, an affirming attitude when criticism is the usual response, a demonstrated interest in the life and concerns of the officer and his or her family, and genuine acceptance of the officer in spite of differences, fallibilities, and expectations. Troop 9 Foxtrot was an independent group, far from headquarters and dependent upon one another for support. They took care of each other and seldom allowed anyone to enter the elite circle of trusted family. Today, the new chaplain was assigned to a trooper who would introduce her to the territory. 20 minutes into the ride, and after being treated to gossip about the troop, the trooper claimed an emergency, and the chaplain was dropped off at an intersection to be picked up by another trooper. After a similar experience, she was dropped off to be picked up by yet another trooper. Two rides later, the sergeant who was passing by noticed the chaplain standing at a rural intersection. "What's the matter, chaplain? What are you doing out here?" After hearing a quick explanation, the sergeant laughed and asked, "It was a test. They want to know if they can trust you to keep a secret, and if you'll complain when it gets uncomfortable or inconvenient." Consistency of presence, complete honesty in all matters, and true humility, servanthood will help earn the trust and respect necessary for meaningful relationships and effective ministry inside the blue wall. Training and education. Many agencies require specialized training for law enforcement chaplains. The first training topics deal with survival issues, physical fitness, burnout, and self-care, first aid, CPR, and critical incident stress management. The second training category deals with procedural issues, radio communications, ride-alongs, death and injury notifications, traffic direction and stops, and chain of command. Another category might include interventions such as suicide and hostage intervention, domestic violence, child abuse, officer injury, or victim assistance. Law enforcement chaplains also receive specialized training in legal liability, judicial systems, departmental reporting, and testifying in court. Each agency has its own requirements, and even the experienced chaplain who moves from one agency to another may find that there are many other courses that must be completed before beginning the new assignment. Law enforcement chaplains fill a unique role in providing spiritual care, religious ministry, and intercession in the lives of many officers and support personnel who serve the public in crisis and stressful situations. Chaplains may be the only spiritual provider many officers and staff will ever know. With compassion, experience, and common sense, chaplains counsel and encourage through availability, presence, non-judgmental listening, and building trusting relationships by being dependable, honest, and transparent. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue learning about the work of the chaplain in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, for those of us who are in the chaplain ministry, the coaching ministry, the counseling ministry, the pastoring ministry, Lord, fit us for your use to be a blessing and help to those who are going through a crisis in their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life, and that I have broken your commandments, and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.